Breaking news, this is your World War III Day X update. I apologize in advance, I'm still dastardly ill thanks to the illnesses that my children keep bringing home, preparing my immune system for the apocalypse. There's got to be a silver lining in there somewhere. Now, this is what's going down. U.S. Central Command that oversees all Middle Eastern military operations remains in the bullseye target zone of this Hurricane Milton, which is now a Category 3. Now, originally, this was the original projection. It was supposed to go right into Tampa. Then they readjusted it. Sarasota was supposed to be where the eye of the storm went. So you can see this was the projected pathway here. But you can see the actual eye of the storm is right over U.S. Central Command. That means that they're going to get the worst of the storm surge, the winds, and the precipitation. Now, fortunately, it appears as though the hurricane is kind of breaking apart, which means that it's likely going to be downgraded quickly to a Category 2, maybe a Category 1, although I presume that the storm surge is still going to be very significant. And what that means for the war front is that this CENTCOM base that oversees all the logistics and the refueling and the naval assets and just military operations everywhere could be underwater. And so Biden had the theatrical phone call with President Netanyahu, and in order to assuage his constituents, he said, well, you can go to war with Iran, but just don't target the nuclear sites, knowing full well that once Israel attacks Iran, Iran's going to attack back, and then Israel's going to have all the justifications, and then the U.S. is going to be right on board because it's going to be perfectly timed right around the election to retaliate full stop against all of the Iranian assets within the region, be they military infrastructure or their energy sector and nuclear sectors. So this is the mother of all black swans. I mean, this is, talk about a coincidence, man, that CENTCOM gets taken out on the day that they're getting ready to go to war with Iran. Makes you wonder if there's a divine hand in all of this. Now, I'm going to give you the lowdown of what's going on in the world. We're going to change up the backstop real quick here. Just show you some visuals. This was the hurricane when it was descending onto Florida. You had tornadoes, all kinds of lightning activity around here. And of course, it's barreling dead center towards Tampa as we speak to wipe out U.S. Central Command, at least put it out of commission temporarily. Here's what's going down. All of these things are connected. We have a canceled peace summit that was supposed to take place with a Russian representation there, but that has now been canceled and they're chalking it up to this hurricane, but I believe the reasons for cancellation are far worse than we know. We have nukes, mobile ICBM platforms in Russia put on rolling combat status, meaning that they're in the highest state of readiness, ready to fire. There is no more nuclear treaty. There is no Russian ambassador in the United States as a de-escalation channel anymore. They're saying that they're going to replace them, but typically you don't remove an ambassador before replacing them. Or at least I assume that's not how it works. So this ambassador very unceremoniously left the United States under the radar. It wasn't reported by any Western mainstream. It was reported by the Russian media, of course. And this is a sign that things are getting very, very tense on the nuclear front, but you're not hearing about it. All you're hearing about is the Russians are pushing back the Ukrainians in the Donbass. And that is why things are getting so tense, because the Ukrainians have already breached the Russian red line. They've attacked two more ammunition depots inside Russia in the last 24 hours, and they've attacked the Crimean oil refinery, which is one of the biggest, which, while not a red line that is in accordance with the new revised version of the nuclear doctrine, it still is a provocative attack, which, of course, is going to cause Russia to raise the nuclear alert status even higher. And that is evidenced in the Russian ministry spokesperson, Maria Zakharova, issuing a warning once again, saying that as a result of the West's destructive policies, the level of nuclear danger has seriously increased. We warned the U.S. and other NATO members to come to their senses and fully understand the catastrophic consequences of their extremely dangerous course. Russia, of course, recently issued a warning to 1 million Israeli dual citizens that they should come home before the shooting starts. Because again, they know the war with Iran is just days, possibly days away, if not weeks away. I would say that this thing is about to start soon. However, the Israelis still are quite bogged down in southern Lebanon. So I'm suspecting that they might try to kick that Iranian can down the road a little bit longer until they can get a handle on things, because they've barely established a foothold on the ground anyways in southern Lebanon. But they might be thinking to themselves, well, if we can take out Iran, then all of these other proxy groups are going to crumble quite easily. So that might be the strategy that they take, and that's going to have grave implications for the energy infrastructure of the region. Now, according to one military analyst, and take this with a grain of salt, but there's a lot of circumstantial evidence to support this, S-400 have been detected in Iran. That's one of Russia's most advanced missile defense systems. It's been detected in Iran by an RQ-4B Global Hawk drone. Now, they're saying that this might be part of the reason for the delay in the counterstrike by the Israelis, because now they have to factor this into their offensive calculus that Russia or Iran does have Russians on the ground assisting them with this more advanced missile defense system, which will, of course, add to their multi-layered system of defense that they already have. So that means that they have to go back to the drawing board. Now, what is the attack from Israel going to look like? It could be anything from radars to missile defense to missile silos to nuclear facilities to oil refineries to naval assets to ports. Everything's on the table. The question is it going to come from the sky or is it going to come asymmetrically? Because Gallant said something very interesting today. He said that our attack is going to be very surprising and the Iranians are not going to know what hit them. Remember, the Haniyeh assassination, it's still a subject of debate how it happened, but the consensus is that it was an act of sabotage, and it happened on the ground inside the country by people who were obviously spies, saboteurs working inside the country. So I would not be surprised if the attack did not come from the skies, but was cyber in nature and manifested as an act of sabotage on the ground. No matter how it comes, Iran has said that they are committed to retaliation. Now, a friend of mine floated the idea that what the Iranians might do in response is something unexpected as well, and that is attempt to take hostages, U.S. military hostages. Because, of course, U.S. military bases are sitting ducks, essentially, in Iran. And not in Iran, but in Iraq and where all the military bases are throughout the Middle East, we could foresee a situation where one of these bases was essentially surrounded by paramilitary, various factions of the Axis of Resistance and used as a bargaining chip. And of course, if that happens, then we enter into a Gaza situation, but of a much greater magnitude. Now, do the Iranians have the capability to do that? I presume they have the manpower. I presume with overwhelming quantity, they probably could. Is that going to be the best use of their resources? It's hard to say. But if you have tens of thousands of American troops and their families back home raising a ruckus, that would be an interesting asymmetrical play. But anything is possible at this point. I think, you know, what's more likely, we're going to get exactly what we expect, and that's a massive barrage of missiles. This time, they're going to have massive warheads on them, and while the Israelis are claiming that these were inaccurate and they were all intercepted, which we could see with our eyes was not the case, we know that they're going to cause massive destruction across Israel. You're going to have a massive exodus out of Israel when the shit starts. And that is the lifeblood of Israel, is the people. So if the people are leaving, then you don't have anybody to fight the wars, okay? So that means you're going to have to bring in troops, American troops, and coalitional forces, all right? Went off on a little bit of a tangent there, but that's how it goes on this channel. Now, as a result of all of this brinkmanship that we have right now, Iran is preparing to withdraw from the non-nuclear proliferation treaty. There is a religious edict in Islam that they cannot possess nuclear weapons, even though Pakistan has nuclear weapons. So clearly there's exceptions that are made. And I don't know what the, you know, theocratic nature of Pakistan is. It's not as theocratic, obviously, as Iran. But because, of course, the supreme leader is the Ayatollah, and it's a caliphate, essentially, you have a situation where there has to be an exception made. So 40 Iranian members of parliament have proposed and are petitioning the supreme leader, the Ayatollah, to allow for the use of nuclear weapons or allow for the creation of nuclear weapons. We know that the Iranians have all the refined nuclear material. It's probably already there. They have all the parts. It's simply a matter of putting it together. Can they put it on a delivery platform and send it to where they want it? I'm pretty sure they can if they want to. They know the North Koreans, and the North Koreans right now don't like the Americans. They don't like the South Koreans. If anybody's going to be incentivized to work with North Korea, it's going to be Iran and vice versa, because they both have something that each other wants. One has nukes, the other has oil. North Korea needs oil. So there's a big chance that if the Russians decide not to be a part of this, the North Koreans are going to fill in any sort of knowledge gaps that are needed. And the North Koreans, in fact, are getting ready to go to the front lines and fight in Russia. Guys, this is a world war. This is World War III. And I know that that has been a term that I think even in World War II, it was a world war, but I don't think it was a world war like this. Because the Middle Eastern theater wasn't as hot. You had the East, you had the West, but now you have the Middle East. And this is a true world war that is brewing as we speak. So Iran's about to get nukes, and if Israel attacks them, you can absolutely bet that they're going to go for nuclear weapons. Understand that there is no negotiations happening between Iran and Israel. There is no prospect of negotiations whatsoever. That is how bad the situation is. And as I said the other day, at least in Russia and Ukraine, you have a situation where they're pretending to have these outrageous peace proposals that they know the other side is not going to accept, and they don't even invite the other side to their peace negotiations. Fine. They're still proposing something. As outlandish as it might be, you don't see that happening at all. Iran and Israel is a war that was written in the stars. And right now, the Russians are trying to get their people out. They've pulled the ambassador out of the United States. Their nukes are on mobile standby. How much more Gog versus Magog do you need? That's it. This is it incarnate. It's going down. Prepare for shit to hit the fan. We have Biden giving the green light, playing that good old bad cop. He's got to assuage his constituents. He's got to pretend as though he doesn't want to go to war while giving Netanyahu the blessing that he needs. And this is why you'll never see Kamala with Bibi, because they know that they don't want to tarnish the reputation, because they know most Kamala supporters support Gaza and are against war crimes that were committed there. So they have to play this game of pretend while they're saying, well, you can attack them, but just don't attack their nuclear facilities, knowing full well that in the next move, it's going to escalate to that anyways. And that's going to be justification for the U.S. to come in. Now, they're saying that the U.S. has not been made aware of the Israeli plans to attack Iran. So this means a few things. Obviously, CENTCOM would be involved in facilitating the refueling of Israeli planes if they were going to attack Iran. So it makes me think that maybe they're not going to use planes, or they're not going to attack in a way that they need jets to refuel. Maybe they're going to use submarines. They're going to use long-range missiles. Maybe they're going to use Jericho's armed with nuclear weapons. who knows, could be sabotage, cyber. But the implication here is that the U.S. is going to have no foreknowledge. Therefore, we're not held accountable. But I don't think the Iranians are going to play that game. The Iranians know exactly who their enemy is. And of course, it is the United States from their point of view. As I indicated, more ammo depots were set ablaze inside Russia. And, you know, this is a breach of the red line. These were drones. These were, we don't know if it was Storm Shadow or if it was ATACMS, but it was well inside the border, 160 kilometers in. So either way, this is an escalation. In line with the Russian nuclear doctrine amendments, what has happened now is that any non-nuclear nation state that does a drone attack of significant scale and proportion onto Russia proper can now be justification for the Russians to use nuclear weapons. We've had, I would say, three of these instances within the last couple days. And you have a warning from the Russian Foreign Ministry. You have the nukes on rolling standby. No ambassador in Russia. That's the situation right now. And we are still poking the bear. Okay? Largest oil refinery in Crimea continues to burn. Today, let me see if I have a video of that. Oh, yeah. And Lithuania is putting dragon's teeth. I mean, that's really going to slow the Russians down, this little speed bump. But they're preparing for war with Russia. I mean, it's crazy, man. It's totally crazy. This is that oil refinery in Crimea that continues to burn. When these things burn, they do not stop. And if it spreads to the next, whatever you would call repository over, you can see a massive explosion there. So these things are burning, burning, burning. The U.S. is opposing a ceasefire in Lebanon. And of course, considering strikes on Iran by itself, so we're so close. We're so close. And they got all the legal framework ready to go for this. And both parties are on board. This is a war written in the stars. And right now, I posted a meme. Right now, Iran is feeling like Robert the Bruce in Braveheart. Remember when Robert the Bruce abandoned William Wallace when he was getting his ass kicked by the English? Well, that's kind of what the axis of resistance probably has been feeling for the last year. Excuse me. I got to shotgun some of this. Benny. This is not a advertisement for Benelin. This is how we roll. No chaser. All right. Let's get back to business. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. The Bruce. He abandoned William Wallace when he needed him most. And Iran now has to be thinking, did we miss the golden opportunity to do the kill strike on Netanyahu and his regime? It's possible, but just like in that movie, I think eventually, even after William Wallace has long since been destroyed, of course representing Hezbollah and Hamas, they're going to go at it, and I think they're going to give him a run for their money. What was that military exercise that the Americans did back in 2004 where it was determined that they would lose a war with Iran if they went to war with Iran just due to the size of the country, the weaponry? And of course, Iran is far more advanced. Iran is threatening thousands of missiles. And if these ones actually have big warheads, unlike the last ones, then Israel's in a lot of trouble, even if they are conventional. This is what the Iranians are saying. We're going to get to this in just a moment. Let me just make sure I've rattled off all the appropriate bullet points. Hamas fired another 200 rockets today, despite having no apparent centralized chain of command. And I think this might be the strategy they take, is to just not say who's in charge. Excuse me. Netanyahu is threatening to turn Lebanon into Gaza unless they start a civil war. All right, we got to get through this because I'm about to tap out here. Russians are sending MiG-31s to Belarus for the first time in a year and a half. They, of course, have Kinzhal, potential nuclear tip missiles on them. We also have a meeting between Putin and the Iranian president in the coming days ahead, which I wouldn't be surprised if they did something while that meeting was taking place, knowing how the Israelis operate. A group of 39 Iranian lawmakers have asked the Supreme National Council to allow the creation of nuclear weapons. The agency notes that the lawmakers pointed to the threat from Israel. Of course, it's really the only threat that exists to them at this point in time. According to a member of Iran's National Security and Foreign Policy Committee, Aladin Barajerdi, he said, "We are seriously considering withdrawal from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and the parliament is taking steps in this regard." So it's in process. So this is only going to incentivize the United States and Israel to take action more. However, this does not necessarily mean we intend to produce or develop a nuclear weapon. They always have to leave it open-ended. He also says, the foreign minister of Iran, of the Islamic regime in Iran, has said that the country is fully ready for a conflict with its armed forces, and it's identified all the military targets. The commander-in-chief of the IRGC has said, "We are ready for a long-term, large-scale war with the United States. And if war breaks out, we will set the entire region ablaze." He said the United States, not Israel. That means the first targets are going to be U.S. bases. Done. Finito. Kaput. And I presume that whatever is left, they're going to send their paramilitaries into there and try to take POWs so that that could be a big scandal. And then you're going to see protests in the streets of the United States. That's a smart thing to do if you're Iran. I'm not condoning that. I'm just saying that's a move they have. And honestly, I suspect that the idea is to use these guys as a tripwire so that when Iran does strike these U.S. military bases, if U.S. soldiers are killed, then of course that's going to be grounds for, well, now we have to go to war with Iran. But what they underestimate perhaps is maybe they're not going to kill them, maybe they're going to take some hostage. We've seen how effective of a strategy that was during October, and to say it's effective doesn't mean I condone it. I know there's going to be somebody saying that. I'm just saying that militarily, from a strictly military point of view, there's a reason why you do that, right? Because then that means they can't just destroy everything, or at least they can destroy 99%, as is the case in Gaza, just not that final 1%. He also goes on to say, "We had launched 200 missiles, but we are prepared to launch thousands if necessary." According to Russian intelligence, this is Russian intelligence, Hezbollah remains intact after Israeli attacks in Lebanon. Russia's foreign ministry said Wednesday that Hezbollah remains organized and intact despite Israeli strikes, accusing Israel of stoking conflict across the Middle East. So they're not accusing Iran. They're working with Iran. According to Defense Minister Gallant, this is the Israeli attack plan. They said an Israeli strike on Iran would be deadly, precise, and especially unexpected. During a visit to the IDF's 9900 intelligence unit, he said that Iran will not understand what happened to it and how. Probably similar to the pager incident, I would presume. He said Iran's missile attack on Israel was aggressive but unsuccessful due to its imprecision. This was not imprecision. If Iran actually loaded those missiles up with the ordnance that they could carry and filled them to their potential ordnance capacity, they all landed where they were supposed to land, well within the vicinity of this airbase. So the idea that they were imprecise is complete nonsense. Gallant assured that the Israeli Air Force did not suffer any losses as a result of the attack. All runways remained operational and no aircraft were damaged. Again, Iran, foolishly, I think, was trying to send a signal, but they're forgetting that these guys aren't even open to any negotiations with you. So what makes you think that they're not hell-bent and destined to go to war? They're going to war with you one way or the other. You have to be incredibly incredulous to believe otherwise. North Korea is cutting off all roads to the south. Pyongyang has said it will build strong defense structures on the border in response to U.S.-South Korean military drills, and they're cutting off all roads to the south. North Korea has announced that it will... Oh, I just read that part. Yeah. So, and this is due to joint military exercises. What else can we show you here on screen? We showed you these... these dragon's teeth. I don't know what the point of that is. I mean, because either they're going to blow the bridge or, you know, you would think that you would blow the bridge anyways. Let's see what the next prime minister has to say. I got to admit, I kind of losing respect for Pierre in terms of his foreign policy status. Love his perspective on guns, but he's turning out to be yet again another patsy. Let's hear what he has to say.
Yesterday you said that you endorse Israel proactively defending itself by hitting Iran's nuclear sites, which is something that President Joe Biden does not endorse.
You know, Biden does endorse it. He just can't say that yet.
Do you not feel like this could lead to a likelihood of an all-out conventional war between Iran and Israel? And are you, do you not agree with Joe Biden and his?
This is the guy who just a few days ago said in front of a large audience of Jewish constituents that I'm a goy from the prairies and I feel odd being in this room. He said it, not me. Now, I just think that that's kind of self-debasing when you think about it, but I mean, who knows? Whatever, man. I mean, at this point in time, I just got to keep my mouth shut and get some popcorn and watch the sparks fly because that's the only way we're going to be able to ride out this complete and utter fucking insanity.
Assessment?
I think the idea of allowing a genocidal, theocratic, unstable...
What genocide did Iran commit? That's what I want to know. What, like, seriously, by our definition of genocide, which is not 40,000 or in some estimates 200,000 civilian casualties happening in Gaza, by what metric are we saying a genocide is a genocide? That's what I want to know. So he's saying that this genocratic, theocratic, they are theocratic regime is trying to acquire nuclear weapons. I mean, I know some genocidal regimes that do have nuclear weapons. We seem to be okay with that for some reason.
Dictatorship that is desperate to be to avoid being overthrown by its own people to develop nuclear weapons.
See, they want to start a civil war there. That's the goal. They want to reinstate the Shah.
Is about the most dangerous and irresponsible thing
the Shah's son.
That the world could ever allow. And if Israel were to stop that genocidal, theocratic, unstable government from acquiring nuclear weapons...
You see that it's a double standard. Even if you say October 7th, which is a horrific tragedy that should not be minimized whatsoever, it was an appalling tragedy. Not a tragedy, it was an act of terror that should, you know, for, let's forget about, you know, whatever sort of military arguments, attempts by, you know, the underclass to overthrow its colonizers. The fact that civilians died was unconscionable. So I agree that, and here I'm probably getting a little bit too political, but anyways, maybe I should just... I kind of lost my train of thought. Let me see what he's saying here.
Unstable government from acquiring nuclear weapons, it would be a gift by the Jewish state to humanity.
Again, that's not genocide, right? Because by our definition, it's not. So anyways, there's just a lot of stupid political in this twit in the back here. She's always got something to say. I've never heard her say one thing that actually pertains to Canadians. It's all about what's happening in the Middle East. That's what we got to be preoccupied with, the Middle East. Looks like the storm surge is coming in. Here we go. The streets are flooding. Bitcoin. It's going to crash. Peter Schiff may be right for once. He is saying that the U.S. government may soon sell 69,000 Bitcoins worth $4.3 billion that were seized during the Silk Road case in 2012, and that this sell-off is going to trigger a broader sell-off. I guess we'll have to see. I don't hodl Bitcoin anymore. I've swung trade it back in the day, but here's what's going on. So right now, retail is very bullish. Uh-oh. Retail is bullish. And every time retail is this bullish, let me go back to that last part there. What happens? crash. So yeah, we can expect a crash in the stock market, but it's not going to happen until after the election. Everybody knows that. Look at this, U.S. stock market up 50% of world market cap. Higher than it was back in 2000, the year 2000 with the tech bubble. So that's crazy. That's crazy. That means that there really is no better option than the fiat currency that keeps getting overprinted. This is a part of a place in Florida that got completely trashed by what looks like it must have been a tornado, because there's cars that are flipped over and roofs not fully torn off, but must have been like an F2, F3. I think that's it. Oh, and the Wayback Machine is down. I think it got hit with a hack. The Wayback Machine is where you can go and see a website at any time throughout its history. It takes pictures of all websites. It's the Internet Archive. It's now been hacked. So is somebody trying to cover something up? I don't know. Makes you wonder. Let's see what's going on with this hurricane. Where are we at right now? It is still, okay, it is right over CENTCOM, the eye of the storm, and it is heading right for Tampa. Let's wish those people luck. Hopefully they got out. Thanks for watching, my friends. Take care. If you want to support the channel, use coupon code WW3Survival. We are getting cleaned out of supplies. That's 13% off. You're not going to find a better deal on premium prepping products. I don't shamelessly promote at the beginning. We don't do ads. The best way to support yourself is to support the channel at CanadianPreparedness.com. Thanks for watching, my friends. Take care.